And we turn now to NPR Senior Washington editor and correspondent Ron Elving. Ron, good morning.
Good to be with you, Miles.
Thanks for being here. So let's start with the leak of classified documents that we've been talking about. How's all that playing out politically this weekend?
There's a lot of objection being heard from foreign capitals, of course. It's always embarrassing to have eavesdropping revealed. Makes everyone feel seen and heard, and not in a good way. It could be divisive in terms of the NATO alliance and the coalition that's resisting Russia's invasion of Ukraine. And this material may be directly beneficial to Russian military planners in other ways as well. Back home, we have some outliers in the Republican Party, such as Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene of Georgia. She is praising the alleged leaker as an enemy of President Biden. You have President Biden, on the other hand, trying to play down the damage, and former President Trump calling it the greatest embarrassment ever to the U.S., and then using it to dismiss his own troubles with document possession. So the Pentagon officials are trying to emphasize that there are processes in place to secure classified information. Here's Pentagon Press Secretary Pat Ryder. He's an Air Force Brigadier General, fielding questions about the leak on Thursday.
Let me just emphasize my point that this was we have rules in place. Each of us signs a non-disclosure agreement, anybody that has a security clearance. All indications are, again, this is a criminal act, a willful violation of those, another reason why we're continuing to investigate and support DOJ's investigation.
And Miles, the young man in question here, Jack Teixeira, has now been accused of being the leaker and charged in court in Boston. At this point, this is a far cry from the kind of spying we normally associate with that term. But the internet is a great leveler, a force multiplier. What you put there can reach the world. So maybe the bottom line for this moment is, if our government can't manage some degree of computer security in this area, what about other areas? Does this implicitly put us all at risk?
I want to turn to abortion, Ron. The Supreme Court has stepped in and paused restrictions on the medical abortion drug mifepristone, at least temporarily, while it looks at a lower court ruling that would have dramatically curbed access to the drug. The Supreme Court's Dobbs decision last year seemed to play a big role in November's midterm elections. What do you think this mifepristone fight and then all of the other abortion fights going on around the country, what's it going to mean for 2024?
It's tricky to predict. 18 months before the election, just who will be most galvanized and mobilized. And a lot depends on what the courts do between now and then, especially the U.S. Supreme Court. You know, the high court might rule on this quite soon or put it off to the fall. But right at the moment, based on what we've seen over the past year, the question is whether it will be bad for Republicans or very bad for Republicans. Because this issue seems to mobilize younger voters who are otherwise less likely to vote, we saw that in Kansas and Kentucky and just this month in Wisconsin, it also motivates women. And when women and young people turn out, Democrats tend to win, especially in swing states. And on the flip side of that, on the Republican side, we're going to see primary fights among candidates to see who can be the most vociferously anti-abortion, producing candidates who will have to face a very different mix of voters in November.
Right. I'm thinking of Florida, where Governor DeSantis this week signed a 6-week abortion ban, which, to be clear, will not go into effect until 30 days after the state's Supreme Court rules on a challenge to the 15-week ban that's already in place. But what was Governor DeSantis thinking there, do you think?
DeSantis is all in on abortion restrictions, functional bans, in effect, because he knows that 2024 is not just a contest with Trump. It's a competition for the beating heart of the Republican Party. And right now, that heart still mostly belongs to Trump, but that could change. And if it does, DeSantis wants the lion's share of Trump's people coming to him and not to all the other GOP hopefuls.
And then lastly, I want to move to Tennessee now, where two black lawmakers who were expelled from the Republican-led state house after participating in a gun control protest, they were reinstated. What did you make of this whole controversy in Tennessee?
The Republican legislators there seemed so eager to oust their young black colleagues, it was chilling to watch. And had they sanctioned or rebuked them in some other manner, it would not have all had to go this way. Instead, they put Tennessee in a bad light in front of the whole country. And now, we must also note, the response of the local officials in Nashville and Memphis, where these members were from, could not have been more supportive. They had the power to restore these men to their seats on an interim basis, and they swiftly did so. And there will also be special elections for the voters to ratify this, and they will almost surely do so. And Democrats now have two strong candidates for higher offices in the future.
That's NPR senior Washington editor and correspondent Ron Elving. Thanks, Ron.
Thank you, Miles.